I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 8. The 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. So we stand to our feet, begin reading in verse number 7. Revelation chapter number 8 and verse number 7. So we continue in our series through the book of Revelation by the help of God. The Bible says, the first angel sounded in verse number 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. And the second angel sounded, as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded. And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded. And the third part of the sun was smitten. And the third part of the moon. And the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it. And the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. I want to preach tonight on the first four trumpets. We've come to this point. It's starting to get a little bit more serious. It's all been serious. Pardon me for even saying that. Getting to be a little bit more dramatic, I guess you could say, as we take into account all that's going on. But as we go through this tonight, may the Lord tender our hearts to what we need to be doing to keep people out of this place, out of these events, and what we need to be assured of in our own lives to know that we're not going to be going through this. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that Thy will would be done. I pray, Lord, for Thy power, Thy help, Thy strength. Lord, You know what You've placed in my heart and in my mind to say. And I pray that it would all be guided by Thee. I need You tonight to help me. Lord, help me not to say anything that shouldn't be said. But Lord, help me to say everything that does need to be said. And help us, Lord, to hear Thy word. Lord, I'll thank You for what You do. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. We've come now to the blowing of the trumpets. The half hour of silence is over. The angel has taken fire off the altar and cast it into the earth. The seven angels, as we remember a few weeks ago, specific angels that were chosen, each have their trumpet in hand and are prepared to sound their trumpets. With each blow of the trumpet, judgment takes place. When I think about this, I think about the terrible events that are described, that are given to us, that are hard to really even be able to imagine. When you think about all that's going to transpire and all that's going to take place in our mind, we can't see it. And in all the things that are going on, even in Hollywood today, as they try to picture the apocalypse and as they try to pretend all the tragedies and all the terrible things that are going to happen, it does not compare to what is really going to be happening. When we look at this tonight, catastrophes of magnanimous proportions are beginning to transpire right before John's very eyes. Just as the seven seals are divided into a series of four and a series of three, the seven trumpets are. And I want us to look tonight at these first four trumpets. And when we look at it, a lot of it is self-explanatory, and I was thinking, Lord, this is like giving information. But may the Lord help us to grab a hold of something that will strengthen us and help us. I want us to see, first of all tonight, the first trumpet. The Bible says in verse number 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. A lot of people try to symbolize all of the book of Revelation. They try to symbolize everything about these events, but these are to be taken literally. These are things that absolutely happen. The only symbols are what God shows us to be symbols, as we'll see. The Bible says the first angel, his lips are ready and they're on the trumpet, and the first angel sounds the trumpet. When he sounds the trumpet, the things that follow are hard to imagine. The Bible says hail. Think about this. Great chunks of ice will be falling from the sky. All around the world, hail will be falling and falling to the earth. And not only hail, but the Bible says fire mingled with blood falls at the same time. That's kind of an odd combination, isn't it? Hail and fire, ice and fire falling at the same time from the sky. But the Bible says fire mingled with blood and hail falls at the same time to the earth. Fire and ice, they normally don't go together. It doesn't make sense to mention them together. But this is a supernatural act of God. So as we look at this tonight, I want you to understand that these things are going to take place. And I want you to see the effects of the hail and this fire mingled with blood as they fall to the earth. The Bible says the third part of the trees was burned up and all the grass was burned up. Now, do we take the Bible at face value? I believe we do. A third part of the trees was burned up. All of the green grass. Can you imagine what it must have looked like to John? By the way, now you'll hear me say this many times, especially from now throughout the rest of this, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I won't have to be in this world, on this earth, when all these things are taking place. I'm going to be in glory with the Lord. Amen? It's a wonderful thing, and it's a wonderful thought. And as we go through this tonight, I want you to know, you'll not have to go through this if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. A third of the trees, all the green grass is gone. Great war is ahead. See, there's getting ready to be some wars take place. There's getting ready to be some mighty armies come up out of a bottomless pit. And one of the strategies of war is you go and you destroy the things that cover you. The things where you can hide and get away from the enemy. And God is going to destroy a third of this, and this enemy is going to rise up. And as he rises up, there's not going to be many places to hide. There's not going to be many places to go to. Trees and the cover, they're gone. Now, I want you to think about this. The way that God made this earth, we know that we get our oxygen from trees, right? Isn't that what we understand? Now, we've already destroyed a lot of our atmosphere. We've destroyed it with just the natural pollution. By the way, that you can study the way that this is and the magnetism of the earth, and there is a magnetic pull, and it's like there's this thing, and I don't want to get into all of it. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. Anybody heard of that before? I figured a couple of you have. And this law, it has to do with the force of this world. And by the way, it's like a clock that winds. You wind it, and then it unwinds, if you will. I'm trying to describe it in the way that I can understand it, because I don't understand it when you read all the technical things into it, but it unwinds. And that's what this earth has been doing since the beginning of time. Now, this world is not millions and millions of years old. Look, you young people that are in school and you hear this, I want you to understand that God created the heaven and the earth. This world is less than 10,000 years old. Your teachers are going to get up there and they're going to tell you all kinds of things that have transpired, that have taken place. And they're going to tell you about all the different things. You know, we have fossils that are way back. And they say it can't be described other than that the world are millions of years old. But do you realize when something is covered with water and the water pressure takes a hold of that and it presses it and it pushes it together, it can form fossils that looks like hundreds of years old. It can do all kinds of things. See, that's what happened. God flooded this world, didn't he? Look, God's word's true. We need to believe it. But we understand that through this second law, we're like a clock unwinding. There's a day coming. God knows when this day is. And we're saying all these things are happening. We realize that the atmosphere is falling apart. We understand that. But I'm not a man of doom and gloom. I just believe God's in control. I don't want to destroy the atmosphere. I don't want to do crazy things. I don't want to be irresponsible with things and the things that I do. But I'm not going to quit driving my car. And if you're so concerned about it, then, and you think it's terrible, then you quit driving your car. Walk everywhere you want to go. We won't do that, will we? We say we're concerned, but we don't do anything about it. What I'm saying tonight is this, is that all the things that we're seeing, it's a part of the time of the end. We don't have enough trees really now to bear the oxygen. They say in America, in the United States of America, several years ago, we had already cut down so many trees that we only had enough for the population of America to take care of 60% of Americans. Now, I don't understand how that all works. I know that the trees that grow in America are not the only thing that provides oxygen for Americans, right? So we understand that. But I'm just saying that we have done that. That was in the 80s when they made that prediction or that they did that statistic. But I want you to see here, the Bible says a third of all the trees of all the world. If that's where you get your oxygen from, can you imagine what's going to be taking place? Now it doesn't say this here. This is my thought. This is Joeology. I can imagine that it'd be harder to breathe. How many people here have asthma or breathing problems? Now, some of you didn't raise your hand that have it, I know. So, how many of y'all have asthma or breathing problems? Jump up and down. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see how good you do tonight. You know what it's like? When you get to that point where you can't breathe, I can imagine it's going to be like that all around the world when we take oxygen supply away. Can you imagine? Now, that's my thought. I'm just telling you, when a third of the trees are gone, if that's where we get our oxygen, the way the scientists say we get our oxygen, it's going to affect our breathing air, right? By the way, I'm going to be in a place where there's perfect breathing air. I'm not going to be in here. I'm not going to be here with all this going on. But the first trumpet blows and we see the effects that happens. A third of the trees, all the green grass. It doesn't say a third of the grass. A lot of the commentaries I read, it says a third of the trees, a third of the grass. But the Bible says here, all the green grass. Now, I can't go against the Bible over what some commentary says. I just happen to believe that all the green grass is going to be destroyed. Then we see that the first trumpet blows, and then we see the second trumpet blows. Look at the Bible. The Bible says in verse number 8, "And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." No sooner than all these things were happening when the first trumpet sounded, that the second angel has his lips on the trumpet and he sounds the trumpet, he blows the trumpet, and when he sounds it, there's more tragedy takes place. Now here we see a symbol. We see something that is symbolic. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 8, says the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain. It doesn't say that a great mountain burning with fire is cast into the sea. It says, as it were a great mountain burning with fire. John has given us something where we can vividly imagine what it might be like. He's helping us to understand. Can you imagine a great mountain? If you've never been out of Florida, you can't imagine a great mountain. But may I tell you this, all mountains are great. Amen. That was good. I can say amen to that. A great mountain, in other words, a large mountain is what I'm saying, not great as far as, what I'm trying to say tonight. A great mountain burning with fire is cast into the sea. Now, while it is a symbol, it represents something that's literal. It represents that there's going to be a great mass of something that's going to be cast into the sea. Just like the Lord likened Babylon to a mountain. Look with me over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse 25. I'm going to show you, keep your place in Revelation 8. But Jeremiah chapter 51 and verse number 25, and he's speaking of Babylon, and this is what he says. "Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyest all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee and roll thee down from the rocks and will make thee a burnt mountain. And if you go and you study this out, you're going to find out he's talking about Babylon. And he says, I'm going to destroy Babylon. So he's likening Babylon to a mountain. Now John has given us a picture of a mountain that's on fire, that's burning with fire, is cast into the sea. So some great object, some mass, is going to be cast into the sea. And when this happens, notice what the Bible says. When this happens, the third part of the sea becomes blood. Now, a lot of the commentaries try to say that it's because of the gases from whatever this mass is that it makes the water red. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, it doesn't say it becomes like blood. The Bible says it becomes blood. Can you imagine a third part of the seas becoming blood? It's good to be saved, isn't it? It's good to know you're not going to have to go through these things. It's good to have the peace in your heart about all that's happening. This is literal blood. Now, we know that over 2/3 of the earth's surface is ocean. Think about that. Over 2/3. Some people have said 3/4. I believe 3/4 is all the bodies of water. But over 2/3 are these salt water, these bodies of salt water. And 1/3 of all that become blood. Now, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the fear of the people as they see what's transpiring before them? We're talking about people that's left behind, people that hate God, that deny God, that have refused God. And now the judgment of God has fallen. And there's some great thing, like as it were a mountain burning with fire, falls from the sky into the sea. And 1/3 of it becomes blood. And the Bible says, when this happens, 1/3 of the living creatures in the sea die. The Bible says 1/3 of all the ships are destroyed. Now, I know I was reading one statistic. I was trying to find statistics. I was up there and I told Megan, I said, these computers are useless. The only thing I found was in the 1980s, there were nearly 30,000 merchant ships on the sea. 30,000. Let's just say there's 30,000 now. And this would be taking place. 10,000 wiped out. How's it happen? You know, the Spanish Armada was destroyed by a great storm on the sea, wasn't it? Could it be a giant tidal wave? Something great mount, you know? You can just imagine it, but all I know is that 1/3 part of the sea becomes blood. All I know is that 1/3 part of all the living creatures in the sea die, and 1/3 of all the ships are destroyed. And I'll be up in heaven. Not a part of it. It's good to be saved, isn't it? It's good to know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, that heaven's going to be my home. Now, just as sure as I'm standing here, I tell you, I'm going to be up there. Nobody, no thing, no height, no depth, no principality, no power, no thing present, nothing to come. I'm telling you, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He's going to be so gracious and take me out of here. When all these things happen and all these ships are destroyed and all the sea life is dead and the waters have become blood, you can imagine what it's going to do to the economy. You know? Oh, hang on now. I want you to understand this is all part of God's plan, because there's going to be somebody rise up that's going to take care of all this. So he says. The ecology is going to be a wreck. You know? The ecosystem. And boy, we hear a lot about that anymore, don't we? And we ought to be responsible. I'm not against that. I'm not one of these foolish people that says it don't matter. I'm going to tell you, I think I ought to be responsible. But the ecology is going to be on a fast downward spiral. We're going to see the trees are gone. 1/3 of the trees, the grass is all gone. The sea has become blood. It's going to be a wreck. That's just two trumpets. There's more to come. There's more things going to be happening. This mass is going to fall into the sea, and chaos is going to take place all around the world. But then we see there's another trumpet. The third trumpet. Notice what the Bible says. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now, the third angel sounds trumpet. And when he does, apparently a great star falls from heaven. And in order for us to understand, to get a picture of it, John gives us another symbol, doesn't it? As it were a lamp. A burning lamp. Now, a lamp that John had in his day is not like a lamp that we have in our day where we go over and pull a switch or turn a switch or touch it. Or you know what I'm saying. Not that kind of lamp. Talking about a lamp with... it's like a big, gigantic, I'm talking about a monstrous lamp, because if it's a star, it's big. The only way I can understand this, I have to picture it like this, because if a star, a literal star, were to break through the atmosphere whole and hit our earth, it would just annihilate all the earth. Would have to. In my mind, what I imagine is as it breaks the atmosphere, it breaks up. And parts of fire goes all around the world. Because the Bible teaches us what happens here is that it destroys a third part of the rivers, of the water fountain waters. You see what's happening? All the fresh water all of a sudden is being affected. You know, this is bad. When I read this, I'm reminded of just how terrible tribulation is going to be. And we've not reached great tribulation yet. We've not reached the horror. We've not reached the terror of it all. This third angel, this star, as it were a lamp burning. It could be that it falls and that it just covers all this territory and it affects all these waters. And while the second trumpet affected the salt water, this trumpet judgment affects the fresh waters. Just think. A third of all the drinking water and fresh water of the world is going to be unusable. Imagine if a third of the Hillsborough River was to be bad. A third. Just imagine what it would be like. Because that's where we get our water from, right? Our drinking water and all that. We get a lot of that from there. And all these lakes. All these. You understand? That's what's going to happen. You see, it's going to be a terrible time. The Bible teaches us that there's going to be a star that's going to fall into these waters. The Bible teaches us the name of the star. By the way, God knows every star by name. That's pretty neat, isn't it? When we think about God and all the you know, we can only see one little itty-bitty part of one galaxy. How many galaxies are there? How many stars are in each galaxy? And God knows every star by name. And I'm telling you, dear friend, that when God created this star, He knew that wormwood would one day be used by Him to bring judgment to this world. Because He's God. And the Bible teaches us that this star is going to be called wormwood. And the word wormwood means bitter, and it means undrinkable. A third of all the water is going to be bitter. A third of all the water is going to be undrinkable. But the people are going to be desperate. Parched and dried. You ever get that way? None of us probably really know what thirst is unless we've been really deserted somewhere. But can you imagine what it would be like to just feel like that your body is going to dry up and you can't even swallow and you feel like I've just got to have something to drink and you're going to say, I don't care how bitter it is, I'm going to go and I'm going to get me a drink. And the Bible teaches us that it's going to bring the death to many. That's what's going to be happening. when the trumpet judgments take place. That's the events that we're talking about. That's what we're seeing. So, you ask tonight, do I have to go through this? And the answer is no. If you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior right now, then you won't have to worry about this because you're going to be in heaven then. That's a good thing, isn't it? So we think about all that's happening. Hell and fire mingled with blood cast upon the earth. A third of the trees and all the grass is destroyed. Something, as it were, a mountain is cast into the sea, and a third of the sea becomes blood, and a third of all the living creatures, and a third of the ships are destroyed. Then a great star burning, as it were a lamp, falls from heaven, and a third of the fresh water becomes wormwood, bitter, which means bitter, and many are going to die from it. But now there's another trumpet. Look, you've not seen anything yet. The Bible says in verse number 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. The first three affected a third of the land, a third of the water, and all the green grass. But I want you to know this trumpet affects the entire world. We're going to see some things happen because a third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars are going to be smitten. Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine the horror of complete darkness when the sun, the moon, and the stars do not shine? The Bible says a third part of the day and a third part of the night. Now we understand that the day is 12 hours and the night is 12 hours, right? So 8 hours of each day, four of the day, four of the night. We're not talking about turning these lights out, and we're talking about dark. We're talking about no light whatsoever. It's happened before. Go back and read in the book of Exodus. For 3 days and three nights, it was totally dark. You remember that? People were going crazy. Made Pharaoh say, you can go, you can go. And of course, he recanted. Then he let him go. That's another story. The fear for the loss of energy. What's our source of energy? The sun? Aren't we exasperating every bit of the energy that we can possibly use right now? Do we understand that? The need for the sun? What would this world be without the sun? What would this world be without the moon? What would this world be without the stars? Well, they're going to find out. But I won't be there. Hallelujah. I want you to read with me a prophecy, Old Testament prophecy. And it's just a few verses here. And I want you to look with me. Joel, chapter number 2. Chapter 1. We're going to start in chapter 1, finish in chapter number 2. Now, get there with me. It's in the Old Testament, it's one of the minor prophets. If you get to Amos, you've gone too far. And if you go past Hosea, you're not. It's after Hosea and it's before Amos, okay? So if you get one in there, just find it. If you need to go look in your table of contents, do it. But I want you to read just these few things together here, what the Bible says. Chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And that, by the way, Joel was a prophet and he's writing about things that are still yet to come. For the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty, it shall come. Is not the meat cut off before your eyes? Yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods. The garners are laid desolate. The barns are broken down. The corn is withered. How do the beasts groan? And the herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Remember, the grass is destroyed, and the trees. Think about it. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. And as the morning spreads upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. The fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in a battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one in his own ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. When they shall fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Now, there's deep meanings to these words. And we have to understand that not all of this applies to what we have just read in the book of Revelation. But we see a sense of what Joel was seeing as God was revealing to him of things to come. Dear friend, there's some tragic days ahead. There's some terrible days ahead for this earth and for people that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. May the Lord help us to see this. May the Lord help us to understand this. And then back in the book of Revelation, where we were in chapter number 8, it seems as if it's bad, is as bad as it can be. It seems like how much more terrible can it be? A third of everything, it seems like, destroyed. All the green grass. And then through the air comes an angel flying. You know what he says? Whoa! 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 He's not just trying to get their attention. He's telling them there are three woes yet to come. Look what the Bible says in verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. You think it's been bad? Look, you can be sitting on that pew. You listen to what I'm saying tonight. You can be sitting on that pew thinking that everything's all right, but you don't know, you don't have any clue as to whether you're going to heaven or not. You can sit there and say, well, I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl, I'm this, I'm that. But if you're not saved tonight, you're in danger of having to go through this terrible, terrible tragedy. You can laugh and make fun and mock at any preacher that gets up and preaches such things as this, but there's going to be a day when the laughing's going to be over. The Bible teaches us that as terrible as these first four trumpets are, that there's an angel that's going to be flying through there, and they're going to say this, the worst is yet to come. Look what he says. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. In other words, what you are going through right now is nothing in comparison to what lies ahead. That's a terrible thought. When I think about it, I want to get on my knees and I want to thank the Lord that He was so gracious and merciful that as an 18-year-old boy, I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. While I've not been perfect and while I've made my fair share of mistakes and while I don't live every day the way that I ought to live every day and while there's been a lot of people go by me and that I should have spoken to and witnessed to, I'm glad to tell you tonight I know I'm saved and that heaven's going to be my home because there was a day I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I trusted Him and Him alone. And because of that, I'm not going through this. How do I know? Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. I'm closing. The Bible says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that who dwell upon the earth. I'll be in heaven. I won't be dwelling on the earth. What's the hour of temptation? Can you imagine that there's going to be somebody that's going to rise up and he's going to say, I can give you what you need. Need water? Got water. Need food? Got food. Need shelter? Got shelter. He said, I can withstand it. Because you know what I'm getting ready to say. But you have your little boy, your little girl there. Need water? You got to accept the mark of the beast. He said, boys and girls be there if they don't trust in Christ as Savior. God's a gracious God. God's a merciful God. Now, I'm not talking about 2 and 3 and 4-year-old kids. But I'm talking about 10, 11, 12. What's the age of accountability? I can't tell you. It's different for every child. But I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be some things go on, and there's going to be great temptation for those that are here to accept the mark of the beast. You say, I would never do it because I know what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that God's going to make you believe a lie. But even in doing that, I want you to understand this. You don't know what you do when you're desperate. Go 5 days without food and realize that the only way you can get it is if you have to bow down and do something for somebody else before you get food. In your desperation, you don't know what you're going to do. Boy, when you accept the mark of the beast, it's over. By the way, if you've heard the gospel presentation and you're there and not in heaven, then I think it's too late. I believe I can prove that to you. But God's the judge, and God will always do right. I'm not going to argue that argument, and I've argued it many times. And I usually go away knowing I'm right, and they usually go away knowing they're right. So I just don't argue it. I tell them what I believe the Bible teaches me and go on with it. These events are on the future. Not taking place right now. We're not in tribulation right now. The world's in turmoil, but we're not in tribulation, not in this tribulation. And there's a way that you can know that you'll not have to go through that, and that's to put your faith in Christ now. If you put your faith in Christ now, then we'll be taken care of. And if you've already put your faith in Christ, this ought to help us to determine to be a faithful witness. Everybody you know that you've had opportunity to witness to, and you've not done it, there's going to be a day that you face that. There's going to be a day that you face that decision to not speak to that person about their soul. Will it be face to face? I don't know. But this is what I know the Bible says. Every one of us shall give an account of himself, what we've done with the Lord. Right? What we've done with Him. May God help us. The first four trumpets. Three more to come, and they're the woe judgments. It's a pretty good ways before we get to the seventh one. But you know what happens when the seventh one blows? There's seven more judgments that it brings. Seven vials. And coming close to the end of it all, to Armageddon. Many believe, it doesn't just dogmatically say it, but many believe that when the next trumpet sounds is the beginning of great tribulation. Different thoughts, different philosophies, but we'll be able to see it. In other words, there's been 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 more beginning here. That's what many believe. And I'm telling you, the last 3.5 years will not compare to the first 3.5 years. They will be so much more terrible. Tonight, if you're saved, you ought to thank the Lord for His wondrous mercy. Lord, we thank You for this time. I pray, Lord, that You've touched hearts tonight with Your word. So difficult sometimes to even think.